What if the chaos in your head isn't a character flaw, but a story written before you could speak? Picture a brain that experiences the world like an exposed nerve, every sound sharper, every emotion amplified, every moment demanding attention all at once. This is attention deficit disorder, a condition affecting millions who navigate life feeling perpetually scattered despite their deepest efforts. Gabor Mate, both physician and someone living with ADD, dismantles the simplistic narratives we've been told. This isn't about lazy parenting or defective genes. Instead, ADD emerges from the delicate dance between inborn sensitivity and early emotional environment, a pattern that, crucially, can be understood and transformed at any stage of life. The revelation here isn't just understanding what ADD is, but recognizing how our earliest relationships literally shape the architecture of our attention. The defining feature of ADD isn't hyperactivity, it's an involuntary disappearing act. You're in a conversation, then suddenly realize you've absorbed nothing for the past 5 minutes. One person described it as being a human giraffe, my head floating in a different world way above my body. This disconnection creates more than practical problems. It severs the joy of being fully present in your own life. Watch someone with ADD attempt to clean a room, and you'll witness this scattering in action. They pick up a book, which reminds them of a phone call, which leads to checking email, which triggers remembering an unfinished project, the original task abandoned in a trail of tangents. What's missing isn't motivation, but a mental template for order itself. There's profound reluctance to discard anything, never enough space, and the overwhelming sense that chaos can only be relocated, never mastered. Most baffling is the warped relationship with time. Despite knowing an appointment looms, people with ADD genuinely believe they have plenty of time, until suddenly they don't. Two competing systems battle in their brain: logical awareness versus the time sense of a young child who only knows now and not now. They literally forget to remember the future, chronically underestimating how long tasks will take. Skeptics question whether scattered attention justifies medical diagnosis, noting Ritalin consumption jumped fivefold between 1990 and 1997. But dismissing ADD misses its deeper origins. The dominant genetic narrative crumbles under scrutiny. Adoption studies reveal children separated from birth mothers show rates 8 to 16 times higher than the general population, not from genetics, but from prenatal stress and early separation trauma. What's actually inherited is sensitivity, a trait that under nurturing conditions produces artists, inventors, and visionaries. Sensitivity becomes suffering only when environments can't accommodate these finely tuned nervous systems. ADD isn't natural. It's one of civilization's discontents. The most powerful factor shaping attention remains invisible: the emotional atmosphere during critical brain development. Parental tension, unconscious attitudes, and subtle communications through eye contact and tone transmit more than any parenting philosophy. No two children experience identical parenting, even with the same parents, explaining dramatically different outcomes among siblings. Your brain contains up to 100 billion neurons, forming trillions of connections, but experience, not just genetics, determines its wiring. Even identical twins develop different neural patterns based on unique experiences. During early development, new synapses form at 3 billion per second. Brain development follows neural Darwinism. Circuits compete for survival, with those most useful to the environment being maintained while others wither. Unlike other mammals born with mature brains, human brains triple by age 4 and quadruple by adulthood. This evolutionary compromise allows our advanced frontal lobes to develop, but leaves us vulnerable to environmental influences. Healthy brain development requires three conditions: nutrition, physical security, and unbroken relationship with a safe caregiver. While the first two are generally met in developed societies, the third, emotional security, is frequently disrupted, creating conditions like ADD. Brain regions governing attention and self-regulation develop through emotional interaction between infant and caregiver. This unconscious communication happens primarily through the right hemisphere, infants receive emotional messages through gaze, tone, and body language. Maternal scents stimulate nerve cell branching within minutes of birth. By 6 days, infants distinguish their mother's scent. By 17 weeks, they follow her eyes, reading the visible portion of the mother's central nervous system. Attunement, sharing emotional space, requires the parent to remain relatively unstressed. Studies show infants of depressed mothers exhibit decreased brain activity and distress when mothers aren't responsive. In proper attunement, the infant leads and the mother follows, allowing the infant to regulate interaction intensity. When this dance is disrupted repeatedly, neural circuits for attention and emotional regulation develop differently, creating the foundation for ADD. People with ADD aren't choosing to overreact. They're born with hypersensitivity, an innate temperament that experiences the world at higher volume. They develop emotional allergies, intense reactions to minor stimuli. A mildly critical comment might trigger tears, or a birthday party's energy becomes overwhelming. This heightened sensitivity extends across all domains. Sounds, lights, textures, and social interactions all provoke intense responses. Research shows infants with higher vagus nerve activity display greater emotional reactivity. These children function like hypersensitive instruments, detecting minute changes through invisible antennae that sense psychic emanations around them. They perceive parental distress before words are spoken and immediately detect tension upon entering rooms. Their bodies become barometers for family stress. Children with unexplained abdominal cramps, headaches, or sleep issues get pronounced perfectly healthy despite real pain. A child might develop stomach aches before school from sensing unspoken classroom tensions or family conflicts. The orbitofrontal cortex records emotional imprints from infancy as neuronal patterns following neurons that fire together, wire together. These early patterns explain seemingly disproportionate reactions to minor triggers. We're unconsciously reliving infant experiences. An adult with ADD might react with excessive anger to feeling ignored because it triggers childhood emotional neglect. Statistical evidence is stark. 28% of sexually abused girls meet ADD criteria compared to only 4% of non-abused peers, a sevenfold increase. Yet abuse doesn't directly cause ADD. Rather, psychologically stressful family environments that enable abuse also disrupt early brain development. Many ADD adults recall unstable childhoods, frequent moves, stern fathers, and psychological abuse, ranging from constant criticism to emotional neglect. Childhood memories often remain hazy, blocked because environments were emotionally barren or painful experiences were suppressed as survival mechanisms. A significant number grew up as caretakers for alcoholic parents. Studies show 14 to 25% of ADD children experience parental alcoholism versus 8% in the general population. Parental depression occurs at dramatically higher rates, 30% versus 6% in non-ADD families. Even more insidious are subclinical shadow syndromes of chronic low mood and irritability. These conditions profoundly affect children's emotional development, as depressed mothers display reduced emotional availability, increased impatience, and more controlling parenting styles. The multi-generational nature becomes evident when examining extended family histories. Parents of ADD children typically maintain fewer supportive connections with extended families, suggesting patterns of alienation spanning generations. As Lance Morrow noted, the generations are boxes within boxes. Emotional suffering passes through generations as stories within stories, creating complex patterns of inherited trauma. Understanding this multi-generational transmission renders individual blame meaningless, but recognition provides opportunity for intervention. Children with ADD operate at an attention deficit, forced to expend more than they received early on. This psychological debt manifests in disruptive behaviors. Many pursue negative attention rather than experience none at all. Only attentive adults can break this cycle by providing the nurturing attention children genuinely need. Several myths obstruct effective parenting. The first dismisses just looking for attention, understating that attention is as essential as food. The second suggests ADD children are deliberately provocative when challenging behaviors actually stem from poor emotional regulation. Most damaging is believing the child's behavior directly causes the adult's emotional reaction. Two adults might react entirely differently to identical behavior, proving responses depend more on the adult's emotional state than the child's actions. For ADD adults, healing requires becoming both parent and child to oneself. Self-parenting begins with compassionate curiosity, noticing self-critical thoughts without judgment. Growth involves welcoming anxiety as a sign of emergent independence and creating supportive conditions, organized space, sleep hygiene, proper nutrition, exercise, nature time, limited obligations, and mindfulness. All addictions anesthetize distress. People with ADD face particular vulnerability, with smoking rates 3 times higher than average. Treatment cannot succeed while addiction dominates, nor can addiction be overcome without addressing underlying ADD. While medications can produce dramatic benefits, they should never be forced upon children or be the only treatment. ADD isn't primarily medical. Pills alone don't address psychological security, family relationships, and self-esteem. The goal isn't avoiding pain, but developing capacity to endure it while experiencing joy. The world more readily accepts someone comfortable in their differentness than someone desperately conforming. When individuals embrace their unique traits, heightened creativity, intuitive thinking, ability to hyperfocus, supposed deficits become strengths. Our deepest wounds, when tended with compassion, become our most powerful teachers.